Hello and welcome to another Relocation Next Practices podcast presented by Weikert Relocation Resources. My name is Tim McCarney. I'm the Manager of Marketing Communications with Weikert. And today we're going to be talking about international assignments and some of the associated costs. We have with us today Stuart McArdle. Stuart is the Vice President of Global Financial Services at Weikert. Stuart, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
The first question we had is, if a company is looking to control or, say, reduce its international assignment costs, in your experience, what are some of the areas that they should be looking at first?
There's a couple different areas that we would traditionally start with when we're talking about looking at cost reduction within our clients' programs. At a high level, they are around policy and around their vendors. So let's start first with policy. Within the policy, there's two different levels at which you can start to analyze your costs, at the program level and at the benefit level. At the program level, what we've seen a lot of our clients start to do is utilize alternative assignments, things such as host-based assignments, extended business traveler, commuter policies, and some of them are moving to a core flex or cafeteria-style program policy. So they're increasing the available policies they have in their arsenal, and most of those policies tend to have a reduced level of benefits, or they try to customize the benefits to the person's circumstance, which overall should reduce the cost. There's always a flip side to these sorts of programs, and generally speaking, they're more difficult to administer and track if you don't have the proper process and procedure and also technology to make sure that you're managing them consistently across your population. But we are seeing an increase in those types of policies. The other way that you can start to reduce your costs from a policy perspective is actually with the benefits themselves. So the first thing we would do with one of our clients is do a benchmarking where we're going to take a look at the policy and compare that against some of the clients that we have in our database. So what we want to do there is, of course, make sure that you aren't perhaps including benefits that are no longer applicable or they're phasing out, and making sure that you're including ones that maybe are now applicable and part of the current market trend. Some examples of changes or areas where you might be able to find some reductions in your benefits would be looking for caps in things such as your cost of living allowance, your hardship premiums, and maybe your miscellaneous relocation allowances. For one of our clients, we reviewed their policy, and then we recommended a $150,000 salary cap on their COLA. When we ran all the numbers for them, for their active population, which had about 125 expats on assignment at the time we did the analysis, we put in place the $150,000 cap, and the savings to the company represented about $1 million overall, including the gross-ups on that. So significant savings there. The last method that we can use to try to control costs is to consolidate vendors. So what we would recommend for some of our clients to do is to review their various vendors and roles and responsibilities, both internally at the company and externally on the vendor side, that are devoted to the program, and determine where perhaps a vendor's role can be expanded to encompass more scope than it is today. In our experience, as you decrease the number of vendors and company resources involved in the process, you're able to leverage your global volume, which gets you better pricing from the vendors. But really, at the end of the day, your end-to-end process is more seamless and efficient. So if you do it correctly, this should result in lower costs, better quality, and overall better control of the program.
Now, when it comes to managing global assignments, what's the one area that, in your experience, companies will tend to get wrong? Or maybe a better way to put that is the one thing that companies tend to struggle with when they're managing their global assignments.
I think that managing global assignments is complex, and there's probably a lot of things that companies struggle with because of how large and complex the programs are. But if I had to choose one area that we've been seeing recently in the past year or 18 months, I would say it's around global compensation collection. Some people refer to that as global comp accumulation, foreign data collection. There's a couple different names. But at the end of the day, it's really making sure that you're gathering all the compensation from all of your various data points around the world into one source. So the reason why I think clients struggle with that is that it's very administrative in nature. Generally speaking, it's highly manual, and it requires, therefore, significant effort to coordinate that globally. We've also seen the frequency of the need for this collection being moved from an annual basis in the past to a quarterly basis, and really now we're seeing it trending towards a monthly basis. So we see clients taking various approaches to this problem. Some try to avoid it. Some do the work internally. And others outsource it to a vendor, such as a tax firm, a relocation management company, or perhaps an expense processing firm. outsourcing that work generally gets the job done. What we find is that sometimes it's difficult to separate one service like the global compensation collection from the greater whole of the process and still get your optimal results. So this is one example, global compensation collection, where consolidating a lot of processes into one vendor yields a more seamless and complete process that's going to give you a higher quality result. For example, some companies have expense payments being made internally from their home expense system, by some of them by the relocation provider, some by their treasury or tax department, some by the host country, and some by the payroll department. All those different areas means there's, for one assignee, you have six areas where you have to reach out every month and try to gather data. So gathering it from so many sources becomes very time-consuming and administrative. So if you're able to find a vendor who's able to consolidate a lot of those payments into one area and maybe get that down to one or two, you've really simplified your process, which makes your availability of the data and the accuracy of the data a lot easier and minimizes your collection effort.
Well, you mentioned risk. What are some of the typical risks that a company may expose itself to when they don't get the financial and the tax components of their global assignment programs right, or if something goes awry in the process?
The risks vary from financial risks, legal risks, and reputational risks. And reputational risk could be both from the market and also from your own employees within the company. And all those are something that can happen when the compliance isn't where it should be. So financially speaking, the company could be subject to large fines from the various tax authorities where they're out of compliance, which could easily cost the company hundreds of thousands to potentially millions of dollars. Legally, the firm might be restricted from doing business in a jurisdiction or have really tightened controls and regulations around the processes and business that they do, and that could include visa immigration regulations being imposed as well, which could really deter your ability to hire people in that jurisdiction. Finally, from a reputational standpoint, a compliance violation could make its way into the public eye through the World Wide Web, through the Wall Street Journal, and that reputational risk really could outweigh any of those financial penalties by a really large margin. And the final reputational risk might be from your employees. If your employees are a part of this, which they generally would be, at the end of the day, that really doesn't bode well for you as a firm as well.
That's an excellent point. As a final question, is an international assignment cost projection, we hear a lot of companies want to try to project the cost of the assignments before they actually send the assignees out. Is an international assignment cost projection something that a company can typically accurately perform on its own, or in your experience, do you see that there are some components of the estimate that companies tend to struggle with?
I think a company does have the ability to perform a fairly accurate estimate of the cost of the benefits that are included in a particular package for someone. And so those are things such as your household goods costs, your cost of living costs, your housing costs. With the right data, most of our companies would have the ability to get a lot of that information, and it could be fairly accurate. I think the difficulties really begin to arise when you try to talk about prorating benefits, benefits that occur year over year, increasing those for inflation perhaps, utilizing multiple currencies are some examples, but the biggest example of where companies might struggle to really estimate the cost of these assignments is trying to approximate the hypo tax and the income taxes on the home and the host country side. The income taxes on the home country and the host country, as well as the social taxes for that matter, are something that represents, generally speaking, 40% of the total cost of an assignment. So what typically companies end up doing is going out to one of their vendors, either a tax firm or a relocation management company or perhaps a consulting firm, with this data so that they can actually do those costs because they don't want to miss out on that 40% cost of those assignments.
Well, there's some excellent information there, Stuart. Thank you very much for your time, and also thank you to our listeners.